Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Women with Purpose Podcast. I am your host, Tanisha Peggins, founder of Women with Purpose Podcast. Today, I have with me a special guest, and I will allow her to introduce herself.
Hello, my name is Talia.
She just said, hello, my name is Talia. This is my oldest daughter, and as you guys can tell by the title, she is a pancreatic cancer survivor. So that will be our topic on tonight. I'm going to just say a quick prayer and we'll dive right in. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you, God, for allowing us this opportunity to be able to advocate, God, for such a serious topic, God. God, thank you for choosing Talia, for keeping your hands on her, God, even in this, God. And God, we pray that this will reach the masses, God, that it will bring awareness, God, and that your glory will be revealed through her story, God, that healing, deliverance, restoration, God, will take place, God, and most importantly, awareness, God. Thank you for being a healer. Thank you for being a waymaker. God, we just thank you, God, just for life and life abundantly. So, God, we ask that this will reach who it needs to reach, that it will touch the lives of many, God, throughout the nation. And, God, we just thank you on tonight. We thank you, love you, and praise your holy and righteous name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So, yeah, we're going to dive right in. We're just basically, she'll give her testimony on what her experience was and all of that stuff. So pancreatic cancer, we know, is something that they usually find when it's too late, like in the later stages of this disease. But fortunately for her, when we found out she was in stage two, and the type of cancer that she had, what type of pancreatic cancer? It was a rare form called solid pseudopapillary neoplasm, SPN for short. And basically what that is a rare low-grade malignant tumor, and it's prone to occur in young women with a pancreatic mass and vague abdominal symptoms. It can be difficult to diagnose as they tend to manifest with only vague and non-specific abdominal symptoms. And this has really been a roller coaster. I'll let her talk more about it. But this has truly, truly been a roller coaster. Because she had been in pain, like, in her stomach area for a few years. Probably, what, 3 years now? 2 years?
It started the beginning of my senior year of high school. First month in.
Was it? I thought it was junior year. Yeah, because, well, you had
this
surgery.
Well, it got bad my senior year. Yeah. That's when we took it to the doctors, like, the serious doctors.
Yeah. So, it actually started, like, her junior year. So, yeah, it's been about 3 years ago because you're in your freshman year of college now. So, she was, like, having severe pain, and me going through everything that I went through, of course, I didn't ignore it. I was definitely an advocate for her. I didn't have one, but, and I think that kind of like sparked me to advocate more, and just the fact of motherly instincts kicking in. So it started just with like severe pain, abdominal pain that they couldn't figure out what the problem was. So, with my history, I just kind of gave the doctors the background. So they, in the beginning, at first, they kind of ignored like they do. And that's something too that I will touch more on later. If not at the end of this podcast, probably another episode, but just how the minority healthcare, it is bad. Like they treat blacks, like blacks does not get the poor, do not get the proper, not poor, proper medical treatment that we need. We actually get poor treatment until they, like we have to go to the extreme for us to take, for them to take us serious. And by the time they do that, it's usually already maxed on another level. And I get protocol, I get they want to rule out this and rule out that, but by the time they get to, like, the major stuff, it's, like, already progressed to the max. So they started looking, of course, at her reproductive system and stuff like that, and back in 2022, yeah, last year. Yeah. She had a procedure that they were looking for, endometriosis, and of course that came back fine. They couldn't detect it. And then it led to us getting a second opinion, which led to them finding out that she had PCOS, and but yet her symptoms were still progressing, and at this point it was severely progressing, like to the point where she was missing like a lot of time from work and school, even her senior year. So we had to take in documents to the school so that they wouldn't fail her for attendance. So I'm like, okay, yeah, no, this is something else. Like, I get PCOS, it's pretty painful, but this is to another degree. And then what, the vomiting started right before surgery, didn't it? Or was it? Yeah, it was right before.
I don't know about that part.
Yeah, I think it was, because I remember us calling the doctors back and they kind of expedited the procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I had followed back up with her doctor, and I'm just like, look, this is getting worse. And it's very, very frequent now. It's like, what, three? You was having like three different crises a month, and they were like changing for the most part, besides the pain in the stomach. But was it like, yeah, because I remember your job was about to fire you behind it. Yeah, so her doctor referred her, basically, long story short, her doctor referred her to two different specialists, one being gastro. CHKD gastro was amazing. They skipped a lot of what they would normally do and diagnose and all of that. So she had two different endoscopy procedures done. The first one, they found a cyst on her pancreas. And then, of course, they did all types of blood work and everything else. And then her cancer markers came back and it was flagged extremely high. So me working in healthcare, I pretty much knew what that meant. I don't want to say in denial, but it was a combination of being in denial, but also trusting God, and also feeling like this couldn't hit home. Like, working in healthcare, I've seen it in others, but once it hit home, it's something totally different. So I remember just kind of like being out of it, like kind of zoned out for a bit, because I'm like, no way, God, like, you didn't take me through everything, like me going through all that, and then you get me to a point where I'm healed. So now it's at my doorstep. Like, it's no way, like, I'm doing everything you're asking me to do. How? So the doctors was like, well, we're just going to confirm, you know. And again, working in healthcare, I know once they're running more and more tests and they're silent on top of that, then I already know they know and they're trying to confirm. So the blood work, they went from an ultrasound to a CAT scan to an MRI, and it went from them it was showing a cyst on the pancreas to, no, actually, this is a mass on her pancreas. So I'm like, okay. So the diagnosis was just getting worse, basically, in addition to her symptoms. And this was back in February when they first started the test and they did the first endoscopy and ran all the blood work. And well, no, it was the ultrasound in February. And then in May, they did the endoscopy, the CAT scan. And then in April, they did the MRI. And the MRI confirmed that, in fact, it was a cancerous tumor on her pancreas, again, called a solid pseudopapillary neoplasm. And initially, it was 3 centimeters. That was in March. And they expedited everything because they was like, it's a low-grade, slow-growing tumor. But with her, it was growing aggressively too soon. So by the time they did the surgery, which was only like almost 2 months later, it had already progressed to 5 centimeters. And it went from 3 to 5 in like a little less than 2 months. And it was so hard to truly process what was going on and what was happening, because everything was progressing fast. Like, and I thank God for that, because usually they kind of move slow with things and they want to rule out IBS and, you know, all these other things. But with her, it was an instant, and I thank God for that, because as I was advocating for her, the doctors heard her and heard us and took us seriously. But when she would go to the hospital, they would ignore it. Like, oh, it's just generalized pain. Oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. And she's like, Mom, the pain isn't getting better. And it was like, even going to the hospital, they would give her morphine and Dilaudid and all these different types of pain medications. And it was not touching it. And just looking at her, I was looking at me all over again. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no. Like, I know how it feels to go through this and to be ignored, to be overlooked, to be a young Black woman that they just pretty much view me as a statistic. Someone just wants pain medication, and also just putting a Band-Aid over the problem and not trying to figure out what the problem is. Like, the pain is responding from something. So while her doctors was completely on it, called in a special team because of it being the pancreas, not just anyone could operate on it. And at that time, they told us that she probably would have to get it done. It was UVA, right?
Yes.
Yeah. UVA, because they couldn't find a surgeon that was pretty local. So I'm like, I don't care where we got to go, I want it done. And then by the time that she had the second endoscopy done and came out of that procedure, we knew they had already referred it to a surgeon with EVMS. And she was absolutely amazing. She made us feel more at ease about everything, but it was still happening so fast. And the procedure that she had done, it's called a distal pancreatectomy and splenectomy. With that one, they just, because the tumor was on the tail end of her pancreas, so that procedure was called that. And with the tumor, they ended up having to remove her spleen as well, because the tumor ended up growing into her spleen. They did tell us it was a possibility that they may have to remove it, but they were going to try not to remove it, just remove the tail end of her pancreas, because of where the tumor was sitting, they had to remove the tail end. It wasn't just a go and remove the pancreas. And even then, they had to make sure that the cancer didn't spread outside of her pancreas, even after the procedure. 3 months after, she had to get another scan because, again, this is a slow-growing tumor. So they had to closely monitor it. Right now, it's in remission, thank God. But they still have to closely monitor it because of the fact that it is slow-growing. And with the distal pancreatectomy and splenectomy, a major surgery, again, he had to remove her spleen, which causes her, now her immune system is immunocompromised, so she's more prone to catching infections and things like that, and viruses and all of that. So she had to get certain vaccinations prior to the procedure, which thank God she had already had anyway. But it is kind of, I'm not gonna say kinda, it is scary. And then just her having to have antibiotics and things like that prior to her procedure, and just so many things that she had to get done even prior to the procedure because of the simple fact that they did have to, at that time, potentially remove her spleen. But then we found out that they ended up having to remove her spleen. And it was like a 5-hour surgery. So for 5 hours, my nerves was wrecked. And just when I thought it was like, okay, all over, the recovery process, I knew it was not going to be easy, but it was definitely nothing that I expected or prepared for. Again, working in healthcare and working in the operating room myself is one thing, to be that caretaker for the patient and stuff like that, but when it hits your doorstep, it's another thing. And it was me being in mommy mode, healthcare mode, advocate mode, and just wearing the many hats and just watching my daughter in so much pain, and them thinking that they end up doing it robotically, thinking that it would be just 3 to 4 incisions, and they ended up having to do 6 incisions, because once they actually got in, they realized that the tumor had grew from the last time that they did the MRI, so they actually had to make one of the incisions even bigger and do another incision. So I definitely, one, want to thank my support team. I'm not going to say no names because I don't even want to go there. You know who you are. Thank you guys so much for being there. Even the last minute, I remember calling some family members and just having to dump it all on them because I wanted to know that I know that I know for sure that this is what was happening before I worried anybody. But the fact that I didn't go through it alone, she didn't go through it alone, our team that we had, even outside of the doctors, just was amazing, there for us, with us, and everything throughout the process. So I will let Miss Watkins over here kind of give her take on everything. So how did it feel? Like, when you first found out, how did it feel?
I knew. So when I officially found out, I really had no reaction. Because I already knew deep down what it was prior to me finding out officially.
You knew that it was cancer?
Yes.
How did you know that?
When everybody was being so secretive and they had extra doctors coming in, I knew. I'm a pre-nursing major student, so I know. I'm not slow. And I'm 19. And I also know my body. And I know something's not right.
Interesting. Interesting. So when you went through everything, like, with your pain and stuff, even prior to the diagnosis, like, how was that? Like, how would you be able to explain it and help someone else when they're going through stuff? And even being able to advocate, because you know how you went through things when you were in the hospital and just being ignored and all of that. So how was that, like, symptomatic wise?
Like, how were my symptoms itself, or having to go through not knowing certain things?
Well, let's start. Like, what were your symptoms that led up to this? Like, everything symptomatic wise?
The pain in my belly, for starters. That was, and I've always had belly pain, so I have a high tolerance for it. But I remember so vividly. It was my senior year, and it was literally the first month of school. It was still September, and I woke up, and the pain was so bad that I literally could not move. So I stayed home. And I had to go pick up my sister later in the day from school. And on the way there, I'm crying. Like, I'm literally crying because the pain is so bad. I'm parked in a parking lot waiting for her. I'm literally, like, moving side to side, trying to make it better. Nothing's helping. And then one of her friends, Ari, she found me in a car. She was like, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "It hurts so bad." So she held me until my sister came. And that day, I just knew that something was off because of how bad the pain was. I would start feeling like I would have to pass out or I have to throw up. I'd be tired, even if I had 12 hours of sleep. No appetite. Yeah.
When you went to the hospital and stuff, did you feel like you were heard or did you feel like you were ignored?
No, I feel like I was ignored. Always. Always feel ignored. As a black teenager, female at that. Yeah. Definitely unheard. Which, as a nursing major, I'm already knowing this going into it. So I'm glad I have certain knowledge to actually say, no, like, it's not that. Listen to me. I know my body.
Interesting. So when you had your procedure, like, how did you feel prior to it, and then how did you feel, like, after having it?
Prior to the procedure, I really had no feelings. Like, I really just, I guess I was numb to it just because I had been going through health stuff for a while. So at that point, I was just numb to it. After the procedure, I just wanted to get out of the house. Like, I just wanted to go back to work, just resume the life I had prior to the surgery.
How was your recovery like?
Recovery was hard, not because of the pain, but because I had to sit there and do absolutely nothing. So all I could focus on was my current state. Like, I felt handicapped.
Were you, like, in a lot of pain and stuff after the procedure? Like, nauseous? Well, I know you were, but of course, the listeners, they don't know. Like, for people who are going through it, who are in this, where they are now is where you were. Like, how would you explain it to them and help them and, like, getting them to know what to expect? Because we didn't know what to expect. We knew what they told us. And I just had an idea just being in the operating room performing the procedure, but to watch a procedure take place and to be home with the patient after, or even in the hospital after with them, and know what they go through. That's something totally different. So we just knew what to expect as far as what they told us, and just researching and looking up, well, you know, things on our own, YouTube videos and stuff like that. So for whoever out there that may be going through this, what can they expect?
The healing process is very long. Very, very long. Took 6 to 8 weeks for me to heal. And even after that, I was still not completely fully healed. The pain, I feel like it wasn't as bad as I feel like people would think it would be. But I feel like that's because I have a high pain tolerance, because of everything that I have been through. But right after surgery, I remember waking up and all I felt was pain, like to the point where I didn't even feel like I was in my body. Like, I just felt like I was dying. Like, it was definitely unbearable. That was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah, to watch you go through that, that was hard too, because I remember when your kidney function had dropped and then you spiked a fever, and then it was like, yeah, we're gonna have to keep her a little longer, because it was like after surgery, the recovery the first 24 hours of course was critical, but considering the fact that it was critical, you were still doing amazing, even compared to what they expected. But I knew the God that we serve, and I definitely had that oil just blazing, which shout out to Miss Sierra Stewart for the anointing oil. Her information will be in the description box below. Thank you so much, Mrs. Stewart. But I remember just oiling you down with the anointing oil on your stomach and just praying and anointing your room and all of that, and just trying to still stay strong, because for me it was like it was still hard to watch you go through it. But I didn't have time to focus on me, because I had to of course focus on you. So I remember even you couldn't even get up to go to the bathroom or sit up in the bed really to put your socks on. It was hard for you to eat and even to try to like breathe, and then you had all of a sudden took a turn for the worse, and they didn't know what to expect, and having to call back in your special care team, which, oh my gosh, we know you don't get rest in the hospital, but this was over the top not rest, because you had like 15, literally like 15 doctors, because you had the set of doctors that was already in on staff from the hospital, but because again with the pancreas, they had to call in a special care team because not everyone operates on the pancreas. it was an extra set of doctors that had to come in. So it was literally like 15 doctors a day. And if that wasn't enough, I'm thinking, okay, when we get home, we'll be able to rest. And that really wasn't the case when we got home. A part of me was like, oh my gosh, I wish we were back in the hospital, because at least I did have some help. But just because of the fact of her pain and stuff like that, and not really being able to be mobile the way that that she could or should have been or used to being. So with this, how do you feel that it impacted your life, whether it be good or bad, or challenges that you may have faced?
I feel like, I mean, nobody wants cancer, but like me personally, when I make it through something, I'm the type of person where I'm like, okay, I'm a survivor. So when I made it through that, I just felt like there was, like, I can make it through anything. If I beat cancer at 19, a cancer that's rare and usually found in elderlies, like, in the hospital, I was the youngest person on the floor. Like, I'm talking, I'm in there with grandparents.
Yeah, you were. It's not funny, but think about it. Yeah, you were.
But yeah. And then, like, I remember, I think, like, the second day I was in the hospital for my surgery, I'm on social media, and I look, and, like, all my friends and my sister friends, just everybody that I, like, just went to school with in general, had posted, like, hearts for Leah. My friend Jazzy actually started that. But purple hearts for Leah, because purple is one of my favorite colors. So it was just so many people. And I don't know, like, that made me feel good. Like,
so wow. You feel the support from your peers kind of helped you get through that situation?
Yeah. And then when I posted that I was cancer-free, everybody was just like, oh my gosh. Some, like, people didn't even know that I had cancer. So when it came out, everybody was like, oh my gosh, you're so strong, I'm so proud of you, da 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 da. And it just really made me cry, because I was like, I didn't even know I had the support that I had, because I'm a very quiet person. I don't talk about things that I am going through, because one thing about me, you will not know what I'm going through if I don't tell you, because I don't show it. I don't look like what I've been through. So, yeah. It was very overwhelming with all the support that I had, but in a good way.
So, going through that and being in school and working, like, how did that impact your life at that time as far as school and work is concerned? And not just school and work, but even you're outside. Like, for me, when I was going through my health stuff, it was hard to even be a mother. Like, when y'all would want to go places and do things, and the pain that I experienced and the fatigue and the nausea and all of that, like, literally hindered my day-to-day living. So do you feel like going through everything you went through affected your life?
Oh yes, I was in pain majority of the time. And if I wasn't in pain, I either couldn't eat or I just felt not myself. So it was always something.
Like, on a daily basis type?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that affected your mental health? Or had some type of effect? Because, I mean, we know you deal with mental health, but do you feel like going through that, especially at a young age, and again, like the doctor said, what you were going through wasn't something that it was rare that they found it in someone so young, even though it is prone for young women to have this type of cancer, at the same time, it's rare. So do you feel like it affected your mental health in any way, just thinking like, wow, like, I'm 19 with cancer?
It wasn't that. It was just the fact that it took them so long to figure out what it was, because while they were trying to figure out, I'm the one that's enduring all of the pain and the symptoms and all of that. So I would say that took a toll on me, not the cancer itself.
So you just like frustrated and irritated with everything?
Yeah.
So what would you say to young people your age that's going through anything health-wise, especially pain? Like, what would you, going through what you went through, how would you recommend or give advice for them to be able to advocate for themselves, to be able to be heard, you know, especially being a minority and so young? Like, because not everyone has a support system and an advocate like you. So even for those who do have an advocate, like, of course, I'll be able to kind of give a little bit of pointers on, because I was, even while she was in the hospital, we went through an experience with one of the residents, not really knowing her. The resident came in to discharge her, didn't know anything about her, didn't know anything about her case. It was as if he never even looked at her chart, and he just came in to try to write a prescription for something that's basically like a Tic Tac compared to what she went through. So me having to advocate for hours, and even to the point where I had to contact the patient advocate, like, I'm not leaving, she's not leaving until y'all figure this out and y'all send her home with the proper medication that she need, and not trying to send her home with something that she do not need, and something also that will not help her situation. So someone your age, like, what would you recommend or advice you would give them on how to advocate for themselves?
I would just say never be afraid to speak up, because yeah, they have the degree, but at the same time, everybody's body is different. You listen to your body. And also, me personally, I will go inside the hospital every day if I need to. Y'all gonna listen to me, because if I say something's not right, it's not right.
Yeah, I agree. Don't let them intimidate you because they have a degree, because at the end of the day, all that means is they just studied and passed the test, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're knowledgeable, because you have some people who are hands-on, and I do feel like sometimes textbooks can't, sometimes in certain situations, textbooks can't prepare you for, like, for me, at the time when I did find out that I had lupus, it was an OBGYN who found it, because he listened to me. He didn't listen to protocol. He didn't listen to textbooks. He didn't do any of that. He listened to me. He listened to how my body responded. So because he didn't give up, and that wasn't even his specialty, we ended up finding out what the problem was. So sometimes it just takes that one, but in order to find that one, you have to be that one to speak up. And we'll get into the spiritual part. Well, I'll get into the spiritual part of it in part two. So stay tuned for that. This episode is just pretty much her, because we haven't spoke out. So it's her giving her testimony about it. At first, we were pretty much, again, like she said, keeping it hush hush. Well, at first, I kept it from her because I know she worry a lot. So I didn't want to. And it wasn't that I was trying to keep her out of the loop of her health condition, and I know she needs to know, she want to know, but I also know my daughter, so I didn't want her to worry, especially being her senior year. I wanted her to kind of try to enjoy what she could as much as possible. So I remember when I first found out, at that time I had only told my pastor and her grandmother and their godmom, my kid's godmom, and I literally kept it hush hush. And then by the time she had her second procedure, I remember telling my sister, because me and my sister, we go through a lot of health conditions as well, and the symptoms that Talia was mimicking was that of me and my sister. So I remember talking to my sister, and shout out to you, Kendra, too, because my sister was like a big support system during that time as well, and just making sure not only was Talia okay, but even me being okay as a mom, and constantly sending me positivity and stuff like that. And that definitely helped me along the way, because like Talia, where she masked it, I do the same, so I know exactly where she get that from. But I would, like, cry in the shower, or especially at church. Oh, my gosh. I would just, like, bawl out, and they would be there and help. And then I remember, like, people would say, oh, no, you have to, you know, give it to God. God got her. He gonna heal her, you know, basically as if what the doctors were saying wasn't what it was. But I like, Talia, I knew in my spirit that is what it is. But when God told me it was part of his plan for her life and her purpose, and he had his hands on her and was going to heal her, that's what gave me peace. But it was still hard being a mom and watching your daughter go through this, and especially, like, we're talking cancer, and not just cancer, but pancreatitis. So when they told us that it didn't spread, they were able to remove it all. They caught it when they did, even though at first they were concerned because it did grow an extra 2 centimeters in less than 2 months. She did lose a significant amount of blood in surgery, them having to remove her spleen, all that other stuff. It was like, but God, because she's still alive, y'all still got it. Even she just had her first scan, August. And it came back clear. So definitely, like she said, listen to your body, know your body. If no one speaks up for you, then do it for yourself. That's why they have patient advocates in the hospital. And even if you feel like they aren't advocating for you, go above them. Like, there's always someone above them. So, did you have anything else to say in the comments, questions, concerns, advice?
No.
I didn't hear you, my bad.
No.
So, yeah, we just wanted to kind of speak out a little. Not necessarily speak out, but just advocate for it. And this will not be the first. This is just the first of many. But us just kind of teaming up and advocating for this, especially in minority women, especially childhood and youth cancer, and just speaking out more about it, bringing more awareness, and making sure if you don't have anyone or a support system, you know, you could definitely reach out. Contact information will be in the description box listed below. But like I said, we definitely had at that time wanted to keep it hush. And even after her surgery and such, I wanted to focus more on her, and all of a sudden I got like thousands literally of calls about it, and I'm like, okay, there's a leak in the support system. But I didn't know at that time that she had posted anything on social media, so that's when I was kind of like, oh, well, cat's out the bag now, because I still had to be careful, because I understand that sometimes you don't have people praying for you, but you have people praying against you and sending word curses and things of that such. But again, we'll touch into that spiritually on part two, letting you guys know what it's connected to. I'm going to be very careful on how I speak on her situation with the spiritual and what it's connected to and what you can do to break free and all of that, because I currently working on something that will be released extremely soon, so I still have to be careful. That's why we're saying a little, but not too much, because of what I'm working on that will be released extremely soon. And that will go into much more detail as well about it. But again, just bringing awareness to the what they call SPN, solid pseudopapillary neoplasm, which is, again, a rare low-grade malignant tumor found on the pancreas. And thank God, because with her, they only had to remove her spleen until end of the pancreas. Some people, they have to remove their entire pancreas, and they become insulin dependent, and that was something else that they talked to us about, that it was a possibility that she may be insulin dependent. So they have to even now, like, still watch her blood sugar levels and all that, especially with diabetes running in our bloodline, and my grandmother passing away from that. So just still, like, even though she's currently in remission and everything is fine and we trust God, so I'm not even worried about it coming back or anything like that, but it's still having to be careful, and especially with so many things going around with illnesses, viruses, and all that other stuff, because of the simple fact her immune system is now immunocompromised because of her spleen is gone. So her having to be extremely careful and cautious on who she's around, what she do, when she catch certain things, where a cold may be something simple to somebody else, for her it'd kind of be something a little different because of the simple fact of her having a weak immune system now. But God, because God is still a healer, she's still alive, she's still walking, breathing, she did not need chemo radiation, which, thank God, because this little girl was very adamant that if it had spread, it, she was not doing chemo radiation. And then I was like, I remember just crying out to God, like, God, you're going to have to intervene, because I know my kids. When their mind is set on something, that is it. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, they ain't budging on it. And she was not budging on it. And I'm like, okay, Talia, if it spread it, you're going to need this. And she was like, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm not doing it. I'm going out the way I came in. Like, she was just like, I know how much it changes people, and I don't want that. And I remember crying out to God and praying about it. And I was just like, God, you're going to have to intervene, because she ain't budging on this. And I'm not about to bury my child. Ultimately, your will be done, but I'm not. Did you want to say anything about the chemo radiation?
Just that I will never do it.
And why? Like, why is that?
Because I know it. Not as because I'm the patient, but because, like, my major. So I know everything about it, and it's just not something that I'm willing to do. Like I said, I would rather remain who I am and enjoy what life I have left rather than basically being a potato. That's
why it's not funny, but
it's not for me.
What do you mean the potato? What do you mean the potato?
Because when you're on chemo, you lose hair, you get sick, you can lose your hearing, sight, appetite. Like, no. And then chemo is not 100% guaranteed, so I could still die. The chemo could take me out before the cancer could. So I would just rather not do chemo.
So what about, because I remember I kind of pretty much, like, made a deal with her. What was it anyway? It was like, okay, if you don't do that, then you got to do the support system.
The support group.
Yeah. And, like, how do you feel about support groups? Even now, like, going through all of this and now coming out on the other side. Like, how do you feel about it? Because you could be that one in the support group that could advocate and help somebody else get through it. So how do you feel about it now?
I just feel like I don't have a reason to go to a support group.
You know, I feel that maybe God could be using you. Like, it's not necessarily that you need the support, but maybe it's someone else in it that need the support, because maybe the support group is all they have. And sometimes you could be surrounded by somebody or people that could be going through what you're going through, but at the same time, they can't connect or relate to you specifically. It's just a situation. So do you feel that maybe God could be using you in that?
I feel like if he was, I would be there right now.
You didn't even take the first step to try to help.
Because I don't need to. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it didn't impact me how it would impact any other team. Like, I feel like any other team, yeah, they would need counseling or a support group. But me personally, I don't know. I've just been through so much, so
you just feel like it's just another tally mark on...
Yeah. Bump in the road, keep going.
I feel that. But even in that, though, you got to be careful, because sometimes when you're so used to taking stuff and stuff happening to you, you can suppress really easily and not even realize it. Like, I'm pushing 40, my God. But I'm realizing now, like, because I am so strong and because I've been through so much since I was pretty much 8 years old, and I'm about to be 38. Wow. That's 30 years. But because I've been through so much at an early age, I just feel like I could take anything. Like, it may knock me down for a second, but then I get back up. But in that, I also learned that I suppress. So do you feel like you, with masking, you're also suppressing?
Not with the cancer.
But with everything else.
I mean, health-wise, like, it doesn't really affect me that much mentally. Like, I just feel like I have so much other stuff on my plate to worry about that, like, I mean, my health is priority, but it just doesn't affect me mentally that much.
But physically, it does.
Yeah.
So, now that everything is done as far as surgery, your scan was great, you don't need chemo radiation, and then we also have a praise report. So, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday that you talked to the doctor? It was the day before yesterday, wasn't it? One or two. I think it was the day before yesterday. But anyway, we have a praise report. She had her follow-up appointment for her first official scan, 3-month scan after her surgery. Everything is clear, and what they thought that they were going to have to monitor her, because initially they told me every 3 months for the first year, the second year every 6 months, and then the third year will be once a year. Praise God that she now, instead of even doing it every 3 months and even doing it every six, she would get her scan once a year, every year now. So even in that, it's like God changed the trajectory of this whole entire situation. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, like every 3 months, that's a lot. But okay, God, you bring us to it, you'll get us through it. So when she texted me that, I was just like thanking God, like crying out to him, like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Because when man say one thing, you'll change that thing around and make it to be what you want it to be. So where the enemy thought that he was going to take her out, the enemy thought he was going to change her life, you changed her life. You turned it around, and everything that the enemy meant for bad, you turned it around for her good. So I was like, it's only right that we give God glory. And even though we went through this privately, we are going to praise God publicly because of what he has done in our life and with this situation. So again, stay tuned for part two, where I will go into detail spiritually on what this is connected to, the root cause of pancreatic cancer, how to break free, come out of agreement with some things, allow God to do what needs to be done. And because ultimately God is a healer. Yes, he used doctors, medications, procedures, all that stuff, but God ultimately is the healer. So also stay tuned. My first official book will be released extremely soon, and I am so excited, nervous, but excited. So stay tuned for Do You See Me Now? Resuscitated, Restored, Release, coming extremely, extremely soon. Fall 2023, guys, and we are in fall 2023. Shout out to also Sentara Norfolk General Hospital, EVMS. You guys were absolutely amazing. And also her oncology team, her oncology case manager, just being with us every step of the way, still reaching out to this day, offering all types of support, organizations, resources, things of that such. So thank you so much to her special care team as well as CHKD. You guys were absolutely amazing throughout this entire process. Thank you to our support system. Thank you to everyone that also kept this hush, because I know some people were kind of wondering, like, what's going on, and just asking certain people, and they just kind of kept it quiet. So I definitely appreciate that, the respect that we had asked for during that time of going through that. So once I said yes to that book, all hell started breaking loose, which told me I was on the right track. And the enemy know he can, well, he know my kids is definitely where he think he can get me at, but God is still God, and it nothing that he do work. But stay tuned for this book, because it will also go into more detail about this, I guess, situation. Well, I don't want to say situation, but Tanaya over here looking at me crazy, y'all. So thank you guys for tuning in. Stay tuned for part two, which will be uploaded or released extremely soon, because I just want to bring forth freedom, healing, letting people know how to come out of agreement. Because yes, man may say no, it's no cure for XYZ, but I am a living testimony. God healed me of lupus. God healed me of endometriosis. God healed me of fibromyalgia. And now God healed Talia of stage 2 pancreatic cancer and a rare form of it. So nobody can tell me what God can't do, especially being obedient to his word, being obedient to his will and his way. What may seem so crazy and off the wall and weird, and you know where people, and that was another thing too, even with Talia, because I know what I went through, the doubt. I could not be surrounded by the doubters. I could not be surrounded by naysayers. So even with what she went through, I still had to be extremely cautious on who I shared what with, because I didn't need all of that in my ear. I needed people who would be able to uplift me, encourage me, pray with me, for me, her, intercede even for my other two children, because even though they weren't the ones that were going through it, they also were going through it because this is their sister. Like, their sister had cancer, so I still had to make sure that they didn't feel neglected and everything throughout the process. Not to mention, the day of Talia's surgery was the same exact day as my daughter's birthday. So I'm like, okay, God, this is the perfect time to need a twin, because I can't be in two places at one time. So thank God for my dad and my sister, who was able to fill in the gap for me and make sure that my daughter enjoyed her birthday, because all attention pretty much was on Leah because of what she went through, and me being stuck in the hospital all day, or days, but especially on Tanaya's birthday. So going through that was a lot. It was definitely a lot. It was overwhelming. And now things are just hitting me kind of like, you know what you just went through. And even in the process, writing a book, like, that did not stop. And the enemy tried to do everything he could, but it's just not stopping. It actually put more fire under me. Did I have my moments? Absolutely. Did I have my moments even of being a Christian believer and being a leader, a minister, and still lost faith? I absolutely did. So people would say, oh, just pray about it. That's easier said than done when you know your daughter have cancer. You're watching every single thing she's going through, her ups, her downs. When things just instantly drop, then you don't know what's going on, and doctors can't figure it out either. Like, okay, well, this is slow growing, but it's kind of moving kind of quickly, so we need to kind of move quickly. And even in the process of not getting answers, but me working in healthcare, I knew what that meant. And even her grandmother and her godmom working in healthcare, and we, the three of us, kind of talking to each other, kind of knowing what certain things, you know, mean. I definitely lost my faith a lot of times. I definitely was calling her grandmother, texting her 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and she doing the same with me, because we knew what we knew, and nobody could tell us different. And I think for me, it was frustrating at times, because it's like, I know God, believe in God, I know all of that, but I also know what God said. So I lost my faith a lot of times. I questioned God a lot of times in that process. I cried out. I wasn't angry with God, but I was angry with the situation, because I'm like, God, I gave you my yes on a lot. And I felt like at sometimes that God was letting me, I would say he was letting me down. Like, that's how I felt, but not understanding that it wasn't that he was letting me down. He was setting us up for something far greater and a greater purpose. And so now looking back, I'm like, wow, God. And thank you that you're not like man, because, ooh, child, listen, life was definitely life and throughout that process. But I also want to thank her brother and sister, especially her sister, just remaining strong throughout that process and definitely being a team player, especially her sister, because even in that moment, it was also about her, but she understood what was happening. So thank you guys so much, and thank you guys for tuning in. Father God, thank you so much for this podcast episode. God, I pray that it will touch the masses, that it will bring forth awareness, healing, that it will resonate with somebody. Father God, and that they will seek your face, God, for total healing, total freedom, God. God, allow your anointing to fall fresh on your people, God. Allow your blood, Father God, to purify the blood of your people, God. God, empty out everything that's in the bodies, God, that's contaminated in the name of Jesus. And God, we speak life and life abundantly. We speak healing, God, from the crown of their heads, Father God, to the sole of their feet. Father God, we know that you're a healer, God, because you heal us. We're both a walking, living, breathing testimony. And God, as long as I have breath in my body, God, I would declare the works of you, God. I would speak your truth. I would speak, God, whatever it is that you tell me to speak, whatever it is that you tell me to do, God, even when I don't understand it. And God, thank you so much for purpose, God, because purpose will prevail each and every time. So, Father God, I pray, God, that it would just touch the lives of your people. And God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, God. God, I pray sweet rest upon your people on tonight. I pray that everyone will have an amazing day, whatever time zone everyone is in, that they may hear this, that they will have an amazing day, a good night, in the name of Jesus, God. And we bind up the very hand of the enemy, God. We bind up every single distraction, every single hindrance, every single thing that he would try to throw their way, our way, God. We bind it up. We bind up right now, Father God, every plot, plan, scheme, trick, and schism sent by the enemy, God, and allow his plans to fall in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thank you guys for tuning in. Again, stay tuned for Do You See Me Now? Resuscitated, Restored, Released, that will be coming soon, extremely soon. And also, stay forth part 2. Sorry, God was just speaking something. Stay tuned for part 2. You guys have an amazing night.